You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
This is going to be an interesting show for sure. Hopefully it'll be as entertaining as I think it could be with all the topics that are on the table that we are going to we're going to touch on. That's for sure. I'm coming to you live from the back room of my apartment in New Jersey. And we've got Ty, who's producing the show in New York at our studios. Ty, welcome. Hi.
I'm going to be honest, Anita, and I say this with all due respect. I wish I was not here today.
Stop! Come on!
I thought you loved me, Boo.
I thought you loved me. I'm like your favorite person to do the shows with.
It is nothing personal. I promise you. And what you're about to get into is going to explain why I'm saying I would rather not be here today.
Well, I mean, obviously, Yankees lose. I know that you're a big Yankees fan. The Lakers last night, they lose to the Heat, 111-108. I know that you like the Lakers. You're a Lakers fan. Like, obviously, you're both your. Here's the thing, though, is, you know, because I was laying in bed. I had made my way to bed at that point, and I was going back and forth, right? Like, I feel that we were kind of cheated. Like, I would have liked for the Yankees game to be played last night and the Lakers Heat game to be played tonight. Like, I understand that we're in this, like, COVID-19 pandemic world, whatever. But I didn't like that both really crucial games, obviously, right? Like, elimination for the Yankees and really the elimination for the Heat. And they were both going on at the same time.
Yeah, but
like,
once...
I didn't like that was what was happening last night.
Yes, you can say that, like, before the games, but... Yankees lose, and then you go right to the NBA Finals, and it was the third quarter. It was halfway through the third quarter, so you were able to catch the entirety of all the drama that commenced going forward in that game. So, I mean, it didn't really hurt as much as we thought it would going into it.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, not a lot of people, but, you know, there are people who say that really you only have to watch the last 5 minutes of an NBA game to really get the gist of of what happened.
Yeah, those people are ridiculous.
Because, as you know, it is a game of runs. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to spend the first hour talking all Yankees and a little bit in regards to the Miami Heat and the Lakers and the Heat winning last night. Matt Ehalt is going to join us, who covers Major League Baseball, and we're going to dive into some Yankees talk. Obviously, in regard to the events that unfolded last night, but also I think it's important that we take a look ahead. Because there are a number of free agents on this roster that Brian Cashman needs to make some decisions about. Free agents in regard to Gardner, Tanaka, J-Hap, DJ, Paxton, Stanton. Question mark out there, you know, is trading Sanchez a potential option for the Yankees? And, you know, do you extend Judge and Torres? So you know, and so we'll talk about that with Matt, and we'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. Like I said, we'll get into some Heat and Lakers talk, and obviously that talk is going to center around LeBron James, and I would imagine that the conversation is going to get a little bit heated between Ty and I, considering the text messages that went back and forth between us last night. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll switch gears. We'll dive into the NFL. It is week 5, and because of COVID-19, kind of through kind of a curveball at us in regard to the games that are going to be played this week and how that is going to affect certain teams and whatnot. Bill Barnwell is always going to join us at the top of that hour at 1 o'clock. Cynthia Freeland, as always, on Saturday. Both of them staples here on 98.7 ESPN on Saturdays. And then Joe Wiz, who has a new show that's going to air every Saturday night, later on tonight at midnight. And then again, it's Sunday morning at 6 a.m. He's going to join us at 2:30, and we'll dive into some of the picks and the plays heading into week 5 of the NFL season. But let's start with the Yankees. As we know, unfortunately, they lose to the Rays 2-1. Garrett Cole working off of 3 days rest, which this is because I was on Daily Wager last night, Ty, and we were talking about some of the bets out there. And when the series opened, the Rays were getting 1.5. So I had to decide whether or not I was going to go Rays with the points at 1.5 or if I was going to go with the over. And the fact that Garrett Cole, for the first time in his life, was working on 3 days rest. He had never pitched on like such a short period of time. And Glasnow was working on 2 days rest. Same thing for him. First time ever in the history of his life had he pitched on such short notice. And so I just felt like there would be a ton of runs that were going to be scored in this game. So my best bet on Daily Wager last night was over 7.5. Obviously, loser in that regard. But I will say this. I did play a parlay last night. I took the Heat +7. I took the Rays +1.5. And then I ended it with Patrick Cantlay to win the Children's Shriners Open that's taking place right now in regard to golf. Hopefully, Cantlay wins. And winner, winner, chicken dinner. But nonetheless, I was really concerned. And the reason that I went with the over at 7.5 was because I was really concerned on both sides of the bump with both these pitchers, you know, having working on such a short period of time, and especially both of them for the first time in their careers. And if you recall, you go back to the first inning, bases were loaded. Let me ask you this, Ty. I mean, how nervous were you in that first inning? You know, when Cole came out and he loaded the bases, how nervous were you?
Not only did he load the bases, but the guy at the plate had a 3-0 count. So you're staring at a disaster. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go again with this. But he got out of it and I felt great. Judge hits the home run. I was feeling optimistic. I felt like the Yankees were going to win last night up until the Brousseau home run.
Right. So again, you know, Cole gets out of the first, and I'm playing this out because I would imagine that for Yankee fans out there, this was somewhat of a roller coaster ride, right? First inning starts, Cole loads the bases, as Ty just broke it down for us. You know, the count wasn't in his favor by any stretch of the imagination. Gets out of it. Judge hits that home run. Okay, now you gotta be feeling really good about yourself. And I was listening to the commentators, and they were saying like Cole typically. His first inning is typically his worst inning. If you look at his ERA in the first inning compared to the remaining eight, the first inning typically is Cole's worst inning. So now you got to feel good. Like, okay, he got that done and over with. Now let's move forward. But that's not how the game progressed. Unfortunately, Meadows hits a home run. Brousseau hits a home run. And that's all she wrote. And hits it off of Chapman, who, you know, obviously some bad blood between those two guys earlier in the season when Chapman threw at him. So somewhat of a revenge home run in this game. So again, my heart goes out to Yankee fans. Very, very disappointing. There's a number of questions here that we can dive into. And the first, and I think the most obvious is, how big of a disappointment is it this season that the Yankees are now done? You know, I believe it's one thing. And I know Alex Rodriguez came out and really criticized the, and prior to the show starting, Ty and I were talking about the payroll, and apparently it's $240 million. This is what I'm seeing online, the $240 million payroll for the Yankees. Meanwhile, and Ty, you cued me into this, and the payroll for the Rays is $28 million. That's a big discrepancy. I mean, that's a huge discrepancy. So when you've got that type of payroll, you've got this type of lineup, the expectations are bigger. The expectations are greater. And so when a team falters, the pain is more. It hurts more because the expectations are higher. But at the same time, this is a Yankees team that in the regular season, 8-2 against the Rays. So, and I get, you know, October is different. It's the postseason. Players are healthier. But I've said this time and time again, and I understand the amount of money that the Yankees are putting towards their lineup. And I don't know if it's like Brian Cashman is just, he's hell-bent on changing the narrative. But in order to win championships, you need more than one ace. And we could sit here and we can go back and forth. Is Tanaka a true ace? I don't believe he is. I think he's a low end two. Obviously, Cole is your ace. So, you know, so I guess, you know, what is moving forward for the Yankees? Because listen, the future is bright. Let's be honest, right? As I said, there's a lot of decisions to be made in regard to free agency. What does Brian Cashman do in regard to trading certain players, extending contracts? the future is bright. Like, the positive here, and I know Yankee fans don't want to hear this, right? But the positive is you Yankee fans know, well, there's next year. You might not be saying that right now because it still hurts. It still stings. It's still bitter. It's still fresh. It's still new. But probably a few days from now, you're going to be having the conversation with your friends or your family. And, hey, listen, you know, well, listen, we got next year. And it's not just next year. It's the next few years. I mean, this Yankees team is built to win, not just this season, but for years to come. And in regards to the amount of money that this organization obviously is paying in payroll, the highest in Major League Baseball, and you know that they're going to be competitive. But at the end of the day, so the conversation isn't, will the Yankees be competitive? Will they be back in the same situation? The conversation today is, what do they need to do differently? My mom always said, my Mama Mimi says to me, you know, Anita, if you keep on, and this is in regard to me dating, right? Like, I'd come home, Mom, you know, not happy about my dating situation. Mama Mimi would always say to me, Anita, if you keep on fishing out of the same pond, you're going to continue to catch the same fish. You got to do something different. What are you continually doing that's presenting the situation? And I think you could use the same analogy in regard to the Yankees. You know, is Brian Cashman so hell-bent on a top-notch lineup and the best bullpen in Major League Baseball? And you can argue, you know, is this the best bullpen in Major League Baseball? Chapman, for the second year in a row, home run, gives it up, Yankees lose. So how, you know, do the Yankees need to change the formula and go back to what we know works? And that is having more than one ace in the rotation. You know, that to me, that's the discussion. And I know it's hard right now. I know a lot of times we want to, like, you know, marinate in what's happened, but it's not necessarily what I'd like to do on the show. I want to look forward. What do the Yankees have to look forward to? What changes need to be made? What philosophy needs to change so that this doesn't happen for the third time in a row next season?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's go to Billy in Neptune. Billy, you're up.
Hi, Anita. Longtime listener. It's great to be on the show. Just I had a couple points to make. First of which is just about last night, that I really think the launch angle thing and them going for home runs so hard is definitely something that feels like it's hurting the team. And I really think it's contributed to making Gary Sanchez completely fall off, and possibly his career might, you know, be in jeopardy now. But also, I think about the way the team is built, I think Cashman did do a better job this year as far as the pitching, because if Severino and Paxton get hurt, then hopefully Tanaka wouldn't even be pitching in those games, even though I think he's been great in big games, so I can't completely blame him. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
You know, again, I'm maybe it's old school. I don't know, Ty. I'd love for you to interject here, because, you know, you are a fan of this team. I mean, do you feel the philosophy of how the Yankees are creating this roster of just, and granted, a phenomenal lineup, which, as we know, there's an ebb and flow to a Major League Baseball season. I know in this COVID-19 pandemic environment, you know, a lot less games than what we're used to, but, you know, they have to go out, and the pressure is on that lineup to go out each and every night and having to perform, where, you know, if you spend the $240 million on bringing in and having a legit two top-notch aces in this rotation, you've got to be confident that each and every week you're walking away with a minimum of two games, one each and every week, and you know what you're going to get from those aces throughout the season. I mean, do you feel that the roster mentality and how it's created needs to change with the Yankees, or are you happy with what they're doing?
Well, clearly something has to change because we've now had four consecutive postseason exits, and the tally for the runs, I'll run it down for you. In 2017, zero runs. 2018, three runs. 2019, four runs. And in those years, they scored two in the ninth inning. And then last night, one run. And in elimination games, you can't have that happen. So there's some fundamental flaw with the offense in a sense that they're able to get it done during the regular season. But when you get to the postseason, yes, against an enhanced level of pitching, they can't score runs. And last night wasn't about pitching. Cole was fantastic. You know, Britton was quite good. And then Chapman, yes, he gives up the home run. But if you're going to tell me the Yankees go Gerrit Cole, Zach Britton, to Aroldis Chapman, and between those three, they only give up two runs, I'll take that any day of the week because I'm confident that the strength of the team is the offense and they're going to be able to score runs. But for some reason, the last couple of years, that has evaded them in the postseason. So I don't know what the philosophy is as far as the analytics. I know the fans are out on the word itself. They hate the thought of it and the actual, you know, the word analytics. But something's got to change because you keep losing every single year the same exact way. Game two was a disaster. I don't know what that experiment was when you brought in Garcia and you took him out. I don't know why you would ever think Happ was going to get it done. Something has to change. People are going to blame the manager. They're going to blame Cashman. There is no reason why the Yankees every single year should be losing the same way. It makes no sense to me.
800-919-3776 is the phone number. You want to get on board talking Yankees. Now's the time to do it. Just to give you some futures bets out there. In regard to winning the American League, the Rays are favored -170. Astros are at +138. Total games in regard to the ALCS, four games is what's favored at +550. Five games is +260. Do you think the series, by the way, Ty, do you think the series goes the distance? Seven games is +210. Interesting. Well, I'll ask Matt in regard to this matchup. Also for the NLCS, Dodgers are favored to beat the Braves. They are -225. The Braves are +182. And looking at the World Series, the Dodgers are favored at +160. The Rays are in second at +240. Astros at +330, and the Braves at +450. Again, 800-919-3776. Let's go to John in Newark. John, you're up.
Yeah, hi, Anita.
Good morning. Or good afternoon. Actually, yeah. Good afternoon.
Two points, Sanchez and Cashman. First point, the turning point of the game for me, I thought it was a great game up until Higgy was taken out. I says, oh, all game over. I don't know how it's going to happen. Sanchez in there, the game's going to is over. The way he catches either a pass ball or the way he catches a ball, it's a strike, but he makes it look like a ball. They say he's a good framer. To me, he's a good framer for the other team. Or it's going to be the way he calls a game. Is it a coincidence to me or the past two Chapman home runs in the playoffs, who was the catcher? Sanchez. I mean, the way the pitch you call for, it means a lot to me anyway. Cashman, this is his protege. He loves him. Oh, he's a great hitter. A great hitter. He's a home run or a strikeout. Most of the time, strikeout. Cashman, over the years, he gets credit for, he came in 1998. The dynasty was put in place. He rode the wave of these guys. I mean, over the years, he in the 2000s, he spent money like on washed up Hall of Famers. Randy Johnson, they get the Yankees. Ichiro, they get him in his old years. Ivan Rodriguez, Kevin Brown, not to mention Kay Iguana, Carl Pavano, over $100 million to Jacoby Ellsbury. I mean, what owner would put up with this? They have the remember in the 90s, the dynasty, they were thinking of Cashman. They're riding his wave. I don't get it. I just don't.
John, thanks for the phone call. I could hear your frustration, that's for sure.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
By the way, we're going to get to your calls in just a second because we're going to be switching gears here momentarily. I'm eating candy corn. And, you know, candy corn is only produced and made available to us for a very short period of time. And so I put my candy corn in the refrigerator. I like my candy corn cold. And so in the break, I asked Ty, I said, Ty, do you eat candy corn? Because I was going to ask him, do you like it cold? And Ty's response was, candy corn? I don't like candy. Ty, who doesn't like candy, dude? What's wrong with you?
I don't have a taste for it.
For candy.
I will say this.
I don't eat a lot of candy, but I think maybe I just love candy corn because we could only get it for like 2 or 3 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like football. You only get it once a week.
Yeah. Well, not this week. Damn.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll dive into that coming up with Bill Barnwell as well as Cynthia Freeland. Let's get your calls. 800-919 as I chew on my cold candy corn. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard, you're up.
Hi, Anita. By the way, frozen Hershey's Kisses are great, too. But you're right. Any frozen candy tastes better than room temperature candy. You really, really get the effect out of it. Yesterday, Judge jumping for the ball, the home run in right field.
Oh, God, that was horrible, right? Hit his head. Oh.
I've never seen that in 60 years of watching baseball. How do they construct a wall with a ledge that you can hit your head on? That's unbelievable. How can that be?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
It looked like it hurt.
And none of the announcers on TV said anything. Nobody said it. I mean, you got to be crazy. All right. Now, I don't know if you remember the Yankees playing the Texas Rangers a couple times in the playoffs years back. I don't remember if Torre or Girardi were the manager. Anyway, one year they went to Game 6. Texas, you know, Texas had Ron Washington and Baez and Hamilton and those guys. Those were great teams. They were up 3-2. It was Game 6. And, you know, with the way the pitchers are being used now, the relievers coming in and all, I was crying for this way back then. I'll never forget the Yankees in Game 6. They're down 3-2 playing Texas. Texas knocks out the Yankees starter. I don't remember who it was. It's 3-0 Texas. Third inning, second and third, no out. The game is on the line right there. I called, and of course they brought in some middle relief pitcher, and he got knocked around. They lost the game. They got killed 8-1 or something. Anyway, I called up Talk Sports Radio the next day. I said, why didn't you bring Mariano Rivera in there? That is the most crucial point of the game. Not at the end. You don't know. So they ended up losing the game, and the best pitcher doesn't pitch. Why? Because you can only use a closer in the ninth inning. That's all he's trained to do. I was screaming for this way back then. I think this is a great idea, the way they have it mapped out. You bring in the best pitcher you can at the most opportune time. And it was the right way to go. But when I cried about this years ago, everyone, oh, no, the closer is the man. He's the only guy that can come in the ninth inning. That's his only inning. So, I don't know. That's what I feel, Anita.
It's Richard, thanks for the phone call. Ty, do you follow Rex Chapman on Twitter?
I do indeed.
He is, like, he has to be top three.
He is.
Right? He has to be top three in regard to, like, who you want to follow on Twitter.
I concur.
Anyway, he just posted this video. If you've seen a sheep with his hat on backwards driving a golf cart today, just keep on scrolling. He's got a video.
I see it.
He's got a video of a sheep, and he's driving a golf cart with his foot.
And you just quote tweeted it.
So I just retweeted it, and I wrote, hold on. I wrote, is he driving with his foot? I thought I was the only one who does that. Snap. It's adorable. It's really, really adorable. Anyway, 800-919-3776. All right, so Jets, Joe Flacco time. Wacko for Flacco. Fair the unibrow. I will say this. I spent 4 years in Baltimore, and I got to know Joe quite well during that time. And I love Joe Flacco. He's a really great guy. He's just a really great dude. Comes from a great family. Do you hear what's going on outside my apartment? Can you hear that?
I was going to ask you what's going on. This sounds troubling.
Well, I live above a restaurant. So, and they have a back patio, obviously, COVID-19, everybody's eating outside. So I don't know. There's a birthday party going on, a birthday lunch. I know something, but they're screaming, they're heeing and hawing, they're screaming, they're celebrating. And so now my dogs want to get in on the celebration. So they're barking. So I apologize. Sorry.
Do your dogs not know you're doing a radio show? This is work for you.
I think they just don't care.
They're disrespectful.
I think they know, but you know, they just like, you know, they want to be a part of the party.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're feeling really left out right now. So anyway, I'm excited for Joe. I don't even know what to say about this Jets team or the Giants team for that matter. Now, again, I was on Daily Wager last night, 6 o'clock on ESPN2, and this was a topic on the show, and that was, you know, would you put money down on either the Jets or the Giants going 0-16? And if you had to choose one, which team would it be? And for me, it's the Jets. You know, I just, the biggest difference is not that we have a large sample size here to judge. Okay. But I get the sense that like the players are buying into Joe Judge. I get the sense that they're playing hard for Joe Judge. Obviously, Sam Darnold's got a shoulder issue. Is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? We don't know. You know, Giants are still playing with their starting quarterback. I think the Giants have a better shot of avoiding 0-16 than the Jets do. And the one game that I think that I'm looking at the Jets potentially could win is week 12 against the Miami Dolphins, where the Dolphins are coming to New York, and by that time, I think there's a shot that maybe Tua will be ready to go and will be the starting quarterback. And again, you know, rookie midway through the season, that could be the best shot that the Jets have for winning a game. But at the same time, if you're the Jets, and again, we don't know if Joe Judge is sold on Sam Darnold. And even if he is, I mean, if you listen to New York Game Day with Chris Canty and Mike Tannenbaum and I dove into this last Sunday, and Mike said, regardless of Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence is like a once in a decade type of talent. Like analysts and scouts are comparing Trevor Lawrence to like, you know, Andrew Luck. And if that's the case, how do you pass up on him? I don't think you can. It's really interesting. Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. Artie, you're up. Welcome in.
Hey, Neat. How's everything going? I'm on my way to my nephew's 6th birthday party, and you know what's his present? He's a Giants fan, and he's a Yankees fan. That's his present.
Oh, wow.
I know. Sorry. I couldn't get to him in time.
Sorry, but, Artie.
So listen, Neat. I'm having mixed feelings here. Because typical Jets, Jets would be Flacco winning this game. We can't get the number one pick, and then we're in disarray, right? So we're either going to be 0-16, like you said, I make my $1,500, and we get Lawrence, or we win a couple of games, we have to stay with Darnold. My thing is this. If they do go with Darnold, they don't get Lawrence, I think the best thing for this team is to keep Gase because of keeping the offensive system. Now, is it me? Because I'm not related to Gase, but I don't think he's gotten a fair shot yet. He won 7 games last year, be it with a weak schedule. And honestly, they're the worst talent-wise team. They got one of the most difficult schedules. So for him to win 2-3 games, if they win 2-3 games, to me, that's an achievement with this team. What do you think? And one more thing, because you play quarterback. I got a question. Darnold's calling the play, and he's got, what's the running back's name?
Frank Gore?
Gore. He's got one Gore on a wheel route, okay? I know he called the play. Gase called the play. But you don't have to throw it to him. Am I right?
You got it, Artie. No, I mean, listen, as a quarterback, play comes in. Keep in mind, you've got, what, less than 30 seconds to communicate the play, go to the line of scrimmage, try to decipher what defense they're in, try to anticipate. It's a chess match. Try to anticipate where the mismatch is. And if you know where it is, then, you know, you become an Oscar award-winning actor in trying to look off where you know you're going to go. There's so much that's involved. So no, Artie, he doesn't, if that's the play call that comes in, he doesn't necessarily have to go to his first read. That's obvious. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're up.
Hey, Anita, that's, all due respect to Artie, that's a tough one to follow. First of all, Gore wasn't his first read on that play. Hogan was wide open in the middle of the end zone. Donald didn't see him, and that's why he chose Gore. But, you know, you're talking about 0-16. Listen, I look on paper. I don't know what this Cardinals team is. I think it's a bad matchup for the Jets, like most games are. I'd be shocked. I don't know what to expect out of Flacco. He may be a sitting duck back there because he's not even mobile like Donald. At least he can't buy time. But, you know, if they don't win tomorrow, and you're right, the only other game on the schedule, at least on paper, if they don't get the Dolphins at home, and by the way, if Fitzpatrick is still playing, then they're not going to beat Fitzpatrick because he'll tear that secondary apart. It pains me to say this. It's very possible they could go 0-16. It's hard to go 0-16.
It's hard, but I think they could, Ira. I do. I think that there's
you.
A shot they go 0-16.
You know, it is what it is with the coaching situation. It's just, I hate to say it, you know, they're going to have to redo it again next year. They're going to have to just start all over again. And it's just, it's sad to say. It's unfortunate. I've seen it for way too many years now.
You know, it's, and Ira, thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. I hope you and your family are well. You know, here's the thing. And I think, and I think Artie made a very interesting statement. And he said, If it's another year with Sam Darnold, do you switch coaches, which therefore would switch offensive coordinators, would switch to a different offensive game plan and strategy? If you do draft Trevor Lawrence, is that when you make the change at head coach? It's definitely, it's food for thought.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny, you're up.
Oh, it was a fascinating listen, as always, Anita. You know, about 35 minutes ago, an individual on this station called up and said he is so frustrated with the New York Jets that he was about to kill some turkeys, which may have been the first time in a talk radio show history that innocent fowl are being killed because of Sam Adam Gase. That just skipped by. That somehow there's a turkey upstate New York right now that life is in danger due to Adam Gase. That was great. That was fantastic. And as I'm listening to the last segment, and it's always so much, I'm trying to write things down, I'm trying to listen to it all. I actually have Bridgewater and Big Ben on my roster, my regular league roster. So
good
for
you.
My question was going to be, which one did I play? Because although I think the Steelers could roll over the Eagles, we start killing the clock. So the defense being so bad in Carolina, I feel that team has a better chance of running up a score and having to score continuously. And I think Bridgewater is, I don't think he's any more of a sleeper. I think he's a pretty well-known commodity, as is that wide receiver for Minnesota. He's all over every wire for who you should be picking up. So I think those guys are pretty much, so what do you think? You think I should go with Ben or you think I should go with Bridgewater?
Yeah, I think you go with Ben Roethlisberger. You know, I'm a true believer, like, you know, dance with the dude who brought you there. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater I think Teddy Bridgewater is a quarterback that you pick up off the waiver wire and you start over, let's say, I would start Teddy Bridgewater over, let's say, Matt Ryan. I would start Teddy Bridgewater over Derek Carr. I would totally start Teddy Bridgewater over Carson Wentz. I would start him over Baker Mayfield this week, even though Cynthia is on Cleveland. I'm not. I'm a true believer in this Colts defense. This Colts defense is number one in the NFL in a number of statistical categories. A lot of people aren't aware of that. I know Steelers defense is exceptional, but statistically, the Colts defense is just really, really phenomenal. So
and a couple of other things. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Good. No, go ahead.
You went over how great of a situation that the Buffalo quarterback found himself in. You went over all the weapons that he has. And every time I turn on a television, whether it's the Steelers or Buffalo, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, these teams have weapons on the bench just waiting to come in. Kansas City has running backs stacked up 3 and 4. They can't even get in uniform. And the Jets have nothing. So It's almost hard to believe the lack of weapons that are around this poor kid. And, you know, it is unfair, and life is unfair, and the butt fumble kid, he didn't get treated fairly either, but that's just the way it is. If I'm the guy, if I'm Trevor Lawrence's agent, I got to be praying I don't go into the New York Jets, because somebody's going to have to kill a turkey again. I mean, they're a fowl walking the earth right now, whose very existence is going to be determined of whether the Jets can turn this franchise around. And I can't stop thinking about that poor turkey.
You're so funny. Danny, thanks for the phone call. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Eli. Eli in Queens, you're up.
Yeah, how you doing, Anita? I just have a fantasy question real quick.
Sure.
I actually have a wide receiver situation. Do I just trade Singletary for Will Fuller? Or because
no.
Adams and Kenny Galladay. So you want Kenny Galladay. I say my running backs are, you know, Chris Carson, Jacobs, and Robinson. Like, I'm set on
one. Eli, one thing we've learned this season, and thank you for your phone call. One thing that we've learned this season is set as you think you are not. Injuries, soft tissue injury is happening at a ridiculous rate this season. And, you know, as stacked as you think you are at the running back position, hold on to those guys. Especially you're talking about a starter in Singletary. Not sure what's going on with Zach Moss, the running back that the Bills drafted. I know he's dealing with some injuries. We don't know how soon he'll be back. And once he does get back, has Singletary proven to the Bills enough that he could be the guy for them? I think he has, especially if you watched last week's game. So I am, based on the number of injuries that we're seeing occur in the NFL, I am not trading any running backs. I'm just not.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Joe Wiz, his gambling show, and he joins us right now on 98.7 ESPN. Joe, welcome in. How you doing?
Hi, Anita. I'm really excited. Big weekend with all the football going on. I'm ready to pick some winners, and hopefully we can make some money for everyone listening in today.
Let's do it. Before we start diving into NFL, because Bama and Ole Miss is going to be airing right here, right before your show, do you have a play in that college game or no?
Well, when you take a look at that game, Anita, I'm glad you asked about it. Normally my show, The Fine Line, comes on at midnight on Saturdays, and then, of course, people that like to get up earlier are on also at 6 a.m. And this matchup here, I mean, it's an interesting matchup because you have former offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin now taking on Nick Saban. They were trading some barbs earlier. I mean, obviously, Bama's heavily favored in this game. They're favored by 23, and the total's at 71. There's a lot of rain on the eastern seaboard, and weather could be a factor in this game as well as the other game between Miami and Clemson, the two marquee games for the day. If I was going to play this game here, I would take a look at possibly taking the dog. Bama wins the game, but I think his line might be a little high. I'm traditionally a dog player. I would take the 23.5 and make some money there with the Rebels in a what should be. There's one game that Mississippi is going to be pumped up for. It'll be this game.
What's the beef there? Why does Lane hate Nick Saban so much? Do you know?
Well, because he fired him before the national championship game several years ago. That's why. And then they replaced him right at the game time. So. And Kiffin just, I guess it's a lot of times it's ego. Sometimes you have these offensive coordinators and they like to take more credit than the actual head coach. And there was some, you know, a lot of dissension going on that we didn't know about. But to fire an offensive coordinator right before the day of the national championship game, in that game Alabama, of course, lost to Clemson, that's probably going to be something on Nick Saban he'll never forget.
I will say this. I was in Miami covering the Dolphins when Nick Saban was the head coach, and he was a real big jerk. So...
Yeah, I know Indiana, it's interesting because a lot of these, Anita, a lot of the college coaches, when they come to the next level of the NFL, it's a whole different ballgame. And some of these players that are making $10, $20 million a year, they don't pay attention to the head coaches that are coming out of college. Nick Saban can obviously control his team at the college level, but when he came into the NFL, he had a hard time.
Yeah, a really hard time. And that's why I just, you know, whenever there's a coaching vacancy and Nick Saban's name comes up, I'm always like, no, ain't going to happen. Because dude loves the power too much. And he loses a lot of power when he makes his way into the NFL. And he just doesn't have the personality to coach the way you need to coach, especially millennials in the NFL that are making a lot more money than you are, dude. So, 100%. Anyway,
it's the players that control the team. And the other thing is that these players, they just want to play for whoever they want to play for, and they dictate what goes on, not the coaches. The coaches just go on with the plays, and that's it.
All right. Again, Joe Wiz is joining us. His show will air right here on 98.7 ESPN right after Alabama and Ole Miss. So let's talk about some of the plays that I'm leaning towards, and I'm really curious if we're on the same side of the coin. I mentioned this with Cynthia Freeland not too long ago, Cincinnati and the Ravens. Cincinnati is one of the dogs that I like this week. 13.5. It's now fallen down to 13. I'm also going to use them in a few teasers with Carolina and the Giants. But your thoughts on this game, do you think that Cincinnati could keep it within two scores?
Absolutely. Anytime you look at a double-digit dog, if you remember last week, we talked about the Giants and Rams, and we had talked about it briefly, and we talked, and I said, like, you know, I just don't like laying double digits in any NFL game or any game, period. And Giants came to play in that game. And, you know, Cincinnati Bengals, like I said, with Burrow, he has 177 completions for the season in the first four games. That's a record that's been held since 1970. The last time that somebody did that was 106 completions. He has 177. Not only that, the first rookie in NFL history to have three straight 300 plus passing yards here. Ravens have a great defense. We respect them, but we also saw they are a bit vulnerable. Of course, they played against Kansas City. And in the history here, even prior to Burrow coming, Cincinnati always has played well against the Ravens. They're 4-1 against the spread the last five. Anita, you and I both agree. I think if there is a live dog, I think that the Burrow, no doubt about it, you know, he might be better than Lamar Jackson in another year or two from now.
Another game that I'm leaning towards, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. That line at 7, you know, Philadelphia's at the top of the NFC East because they tied. My only reservation here is the time off that Pittsburgh has had, and unexpectedly, of course, because we know what happened with the Tennessee Titans, and unfortunately, the Pittsburgh Steelers got the brunt of that and having to be forced to have their bye week in week 4. But I'm leaning towards the Steelers here. What's your play in this game?
Yeah, it's interesting because you don't know how the Steelers are going to react after having 2 weeks off. Eagles were an impressive win last Sunday night. I mean, everybody was surprised. I took the 9 points. I didn't expect them to win the game outright. So they traveled all the way to the West Coast. They're coming back to the East Coast. Now they're coming back and taking on the Steelers. But, you know, Carson Wentz, as long as he keeps his turnovers down, I mean, they're calling this the Battle of the Keystone State. I think that the Eagles could keep this game relatively close. I know that a line is 7, and it seems like a logical choice to take the Steelers, but when you take a look at the Steelers and Eater and their record at 3-0, you have to look at the teams they've beaten. They played the Giants opening week, and in the first half, the Giants were very competitive against the Steelers. They moved the ball. Then they played Broncos and the Houston Texans. Those three teams combined have a record of 1-11. So I'm not sure how good the Steelers are just yet, and we certainly know that the Eagles have work to be done. I think that this game could be decided less than a touchdown. I think the Steelers win, but I am taking the dog in this game. I'm going to take Philly as long as they keep their turnovers down, and Wentz does not throw an interception. I am going with the dog. Anita, I'm really excited tonight, right after the Ole Miss game right here on 98.7. We're going to have the fine line. I'm going to break down every single game in the NFL. We're going to give all the picks for everybody, and they're all free. And, of course, and if they miss it tonight, they, of course, can listen to it tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. It's the fine line. I'm hoping that I can bring some winners and make money for everyone out there listening.
In regard to the Eagles, any concern that both Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson are not going to suit up in this game? I know there was a lot of expectation, high expectation, and hope that they would, but I was just reading on the ticker that they're not. Any concern there offensively?
That's a big concern. concerned, absolutely. The line 7, it wouldn't shock me if this line tomorrow, we'll see it at 7.5 with these injuries just being posted today. Again, like I said, Steelers have a very good run defense, and if the Eagles are going to stay competitive, Wentz is going to have to play an error-free game, which is something he hasn't been able to do this season so far. 7 interceptions for the year. Steelers' secondary is a little vulnerable, but their run defense is very, very good. And with the injuries that the Eagles have, I think that the public perception will be to jump on the Steelers resting for 2 weeks. The logistics of the Eagles having to travel all the way to the West Coast and then coming back. I'm still going to take the dog and hope it stays under 7, and I might even get the hook come tomorrow.
And last but not least, let's talk about that Tennessee Titan and Bills game. I'm all over the Bills. I was on the Bills before the season began. I was telling people, plus 170, plus 150, plus 130, they're going to win the division. Everyone was like, no, it's Cam Newton and the Patriots, yada, yada, yada. I love this Bills team. They're 4-0 going up against the Tennessee Titans. I love the Bills this week as well.
Well, when you take a look at this game, hopefully it'll be played on Tuesday. The Bills are 4-0 for the first time in 12 years. I mean, you got to take a look at it. The biggest addition the Bills are, why they're so good this year, is they have Stephon Diggs. They stole him from the Vikings. And ironically, the Buffalo Bills are generally known to be a conservative team. They've scored 27 or more points in 4 straight games. The Titans are coming off of a bye week. I mean, Titans have played very well as well. I mean, Tannehill has exceeded everyone's expectations, Derrick Henry. And Titans are also putting a lot of points on the board, Anita. And normally you would expect these two teams with a rushing attack and a good defense to be low scoring. I think that you're going to see a high scoring game between the Bills and Titans. I would lean towards a total this game. But, with the Bills, like I said, they're 4-0. They went to Vegas last week, got the job done. The week prior to that, they got that phantom pass interference call, and they got that win over the Rams. And so I'm looking forward to an exciting weekend. I want to make sure everyone listens in tonight right after the Alabama-Mississippi game. I'll be on for a whole hour breaking down every NFL game. And, of course, tomorrow morning we'll be back on at 6 a.m., Anita, and I'm hoping we can make some money here. And I was ready for you with the three-team teaser today, because I know you asked me for one last week. I know you like playing those teasers.
Yeah, I'm like I said, probably my favorite bet. I love Carolina. I think Carolina is going to win outright, so I got them on the money line, and I'm probably going to tease Carolina. I'll tease them up to +7. I'll tease Cincinnati up to +19, and believe it or not, I think Dallas's defense is just so god awful. I like Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator for the Giants, heading back to Dallas. So I'm going to tease the Giants as well. I'm going to play a three-team dog teaser heading into week 5.
I like that, because generally when I play teasers, I also like to play dogs. I generally don't like to subtract points. I like to add points. In my three-team teaser, I threw in Cincinnati. I threw in Cleveland +10. I think that's going to be a very competitive game with the Colts. I think that game will be decided late. The Lions will pick them there. And I threw in my Eagle team. I'm taking the 17 with the Eagles. That would be the three-team teaser that I came up with. So, at least we have one team. We're on the same side with the Bengals. And the other two, Carolina, they exceeded everyone's expectations so far. I mean, last week they won again. They beat Arizona. Head coach Matt Rule has done a tremendous job. And I'm not sure why the Falcons are even favored in that game.
Yeah, me as well. A little perplexing. Anyway, Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate your time. And good luck week 2 with your show. Make sure you tune in to Joe later on tonight at midnight following the Alabama-Ole Miss game. Enjoy your night. Enjoy your weekend, Joe.
Thank you.